So, overview, formats, and requirements, week one. We are probably going to meet together 6 more times after this one, approximately, depending on weather and things like that, and then any material we haven't covered yet. So, all right, introductions. This is my wife, Carrie. This is my friend, Andrew, Mr. Shields, and I'm Moose. Okay, you guys have had the opportunity to do names. Okay, please do not hesitate to say, oh man, help me out one more time. Ellie, yes, okay. Get over it, okay? Because these are people that you are already in classes with, okay? And the opportunity to address people by name is just an opportunity to encourage, okay? So I'm really, really bad with names. Forgive me. So the bar is already set really, really low. Okay, so if you learn 2 new names each week, you're in good shape. All right, so we've already chatted about the purpose of the class, lessons. We're going to go over the vows that you're taking, as well as what it is this church believes. Okay, we will ask you to share a written testimony. Okay, you will have the opportunity, Carrie and Mr. Shields and I will share our testimonies at different times in the class, and then we will get together at a practice meal. Okay, we will actually have an event where we will get together and have a nice meal together and hang out for the evening, and then you guys will get an opportunity to share your testimonies with each other, okay? Because sharing them with each other helps break the ice before you share them with the group of elders that will come together for a second dinner, okay, as an opportunity for the elders and your parents to get to hear your testimony. Okay, now, really quick aside, if you go through the class and choose not to join, that's okay as well, okay? But please don't assume that, oh, I know everything about it, or I don't want to know more about it. Just come to the class, hang out with us, pray about it, okay? And know that we're praying for you guys, that this is a tough decision, okay? These are conversations that probably your parents are having with you. You know, hey, we'd like for you to do the confirmation class, but, you know, we're not assuming that you're automatically going to join, okay? We do think that, you know, just the parents can't save you, and membership doesn't save you either, all right? So, putting that out there, you will take these vows that we're reviewing now. You will be asked these same vows before the congregation, and then we will wrap up with a service project, usually about the time of the where you'll stand before the church and take your vows, there's an opportunity for a service project. Okay? So that is the overview of the class in a nutshell. Have I missed anything, Andrew?
I don't think so.
All right. All right. So really quick, why church membership? And this is Trip Lee. Trip Lee is a former pastor of a church in Atlanta, Georgia. And he is a music artist who felt the call to become a pastor, and then for health reasons, he ended up stepping away.
Donovan, could you put that light down just so we have a little glare on the TV?
One of the tough things about church membership, when we start to talk about if it's necessary or not, is it? Is it really something we have to do or not? One of the hard things is we're not going to find the phrase church membership in the Bible. We do see the word member, talking about being members of the body of Christ. But I think the way that I'm constantly trying to explain it at our church and when I talk about this, membership is it's a phrase we use that summarizes some relationships that we're called to in Scripture when it comes to the church family. So we know that Paul is writing to specific churches. When he talks about loving one another, he's talking about loving one another in those churches. So the first thing is, it's assumed that these people are members of a particular church. He's writing to them. But the thing is, Scripture calls us to the individual Christian to have a particular relationship with elders, to submit to those elders, right? To sit under the teaching of those elders, to love those elders, to pray for those elders. And then those pastors have a relationship to that individual Christian. They're called to serve them, to teach them, to protect them, right? To show them the glory of God's word. And there's a relationship there that we're called to in Scripture. Not only that, the individual Christian to the other Christians in the congregation, right? They're called to commit to them, to submit to them, and these Christians are called to love them, right? To bear one another's burdens, to teach and admonish one another, to bear with the idle and the faint-hearted and the weak. And then that whole congregation has a relationship to those pastors, where the pastors, again, to teach that whole congregation. That congregation is to hold that pastor accountable, to sit under his teaching, to submit to him. And there are all these relationships and these commands that happen within these relationships within a local church that point to a kind of commitment, a kind of submission, a kind of love for one another. And the phrase church membership is a phrase that's used to summarize those commands. And because those commands are absolutely necessary, God has called us to them. We can't submit to all pastors everywhere. We can't, you know, bear every single person's burdens. Because those are commands given to specific communities, yes, church membership is necessary. And necessary not in the sense that you can't be a Christian if you're not already connected to a church, but God has called us to these particular kinds of commitments. Those are commands. So anytime I talk to a Christian, my main goal is to show them the beauty of church membership and what Scripture says about our commitment to one another.
All right. What are your thoughts? Any thoughts right there? When you think of or hear church membership, what are some of the things that pop into your brain?
Well, being specifically a member to the body of Christ.
Okay.
In the church.
Yeah. Okay. The idea of one anothering. Mm-hmm. And charity in some aspects, and as an adult, and I know, you know, Carrie and I and Mr. Shields, we have these conversations with other adults. People who, well, I was hurt in another church, and so I don't like church membership. They view it from a negative side of in and out. Mm-hmm. And that's human nature. That's not specific to the church, right? That's human sinfulness right there, okay? So, but let's, and I'm not saying that we only consider the positive sides of church membership, mm-hmm. but any other thoughts on church membership?
You're part of a church community, okay. You're part of other people that can help you and guide you and help uh-huh. around for a while.
Okay. So, William, what you're pointing out there is, you know, the help and prayer, the advocacy component, right? Mm-hmm. The things that are there on the positive. And when we talk about the session, I talk about leaders. One of the things I've become convinced of as I look in Scripture is advocacy and accountability. Like two sides of the same coin, okay? That if someone's holding you accountable and just holding you accountable, that feels like, well, they just want to make sure I don't screw up according to them. But then accountability with advocacy says, okay, they actually want to see me do well, okay? But advocacy without accountability is basically enabling. Right? So you need to have both. And so I think within church membership, and you know, Tripp Lee makes the very good point here, you can't submit to all pastors, and pastors can't shepherd every believer. Mm-hmm. So for even just that one level of church membership, we see that it is helpful, it is necessary. For as a believer, it's as the life of the believer, that is a huge component.
I think, too, tagging on to what he said about, like, yeah, like, every pastor can't shepherd every single person, but then he also said, too, like, every believer can't, you know, we're called to bear one another's burdens. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't bear everybody's burdens, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's likely that I can help bear the burdens of the people who are in my same city and in my, you know, there's practical ways I can help them bear their burdens, mm-hmm. you know, in addition to praying and things like that. Like, I can, you know, and so that's another component of, like, when we're in a body and we're loving each other and we're working together, you know, that's really beautiful because, you know, it offers practical... Mm-hmm. practical help.
It reminds us that there are things we can't do.
Yeah, and gives, like, real, like, feet and hands to, like, the gospel message, you know, that sometimes is, you know, we hear it, or we can listen to a radio program of a pastor far away and maybe be encouraged, but, you know, there's something about, like, your church family kind of coming alongside you and being like, hey, I'm calling to check on you, or hey, I need your friend, or,
let me bring you a meal, or, you know, let me let the dog out for you, or whatever yeah. it is that you're needing, yeah. you know, to, in a situation, you know, I think that's really...
And you hit the family.
Yep.
You know, we feel loved in a family, you know, and this is a church family that expands on, obviously, showing Christ's love to one another. And he came for us. He died for us. He cares for each one of you, each one of us. And we want to share that love with you all.
We are supposed to be little mirrors reflecting the light of Christ. Okay? And, you know, in Acts, where the first, where the word Christian literally first appears is little Christs, mini Christs. And it was actually a taunting term that Christians took on for themselves. Yes, we are to be miniature Christs. We're to be miniature Jesuses going out and ministering to our community. So, and guys, as we, you know, the way we set up these lessons, we can, if we start one and we get halfway through, we can finish it next week and even start the next one, okay? And, but let's get membership vow. And this is the most important vow because it talks about salvation, okay? And so the vow A that they're going to ask you when you stand up in front of the church is, do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God and without hope for your salvation except in His sovereign mercy? And our hope to that question that you'll answer is, I do, or yes, okay? Because that is all of us, each and every one of us, by the nature of being human, having the same DNA as Adam, having the same behavior traits as Adam, and that is just ingrained in us, is that separation from God, okay? We are separated eternally from the Father, except through the work of Jesus Christ. And that's it. That is the only way. Okay? It is not being a good person. It is not being a member of a church. It is not your parents taking you to church. It's not your grandparents giving money and having your name on a street or a room in the church. It is, we are without hope except for His sovereign mercy. Okay? Yes, Greg?
What... Sovereign mercy.
Good.
That adjective too.
All right. The idea of sovereignty. Okay? Sovereignty is unilateral. Okay? Sovereign, we hear of states being like, or a country being sovereign, meaning that they control what's within their borders. Okay? Well, if, as we talk about God, God being the creator and sustainer of all things, He has sovereign rule over all things, including this salvation. Now, in the Reformed faith, Greta, we believe, as a church, that in our sinful nature, we will always choose sin. We will always choose selfishness. We will always choose to do what is right to just us. And the only reason we even come to a desire, we come to the knowledge that we're sinners and have the desire to know more about God is through the work of the Holy Spirit, through His sovereign mercy. Now, we receive grace with a lowercase g, being born into Christian families, being any of the things that we enjoy, those are graces with a lowercase g. Okay? But when we receive grace with a capital G, that is salvation. Okay? Remember the story of Jacob and Esau? They were both raised in the same house. They were both taken to temple. They were both raised to fear God. But one, both of them received that lowercase g grace. Okay? But only Jacob was able to receive the capital G grace because of sovereign mercy.
Why doesn't accepting His mercy work?
Because it explains that it is sovereign. He is controlling it. He will show mercy to whom He wants to show mercy. That's the question of sovereignty here. Because if there's a situation where that we think we actually choose, if we think that it's our choice, first off, we can unchoose, right? And if I can make one good choice, that means I can make two good choices, right? And if I can make two good choices, I could make 200 good choices, right? And if I can make 200 good choices, well then, eventually someone would make all the right choices, right? But I don't believe we're capable of even a single right choice, because everything is centered around ourselves, which is sinful. And that's because it's stitched into our DNA. We are all tied to Adam. And so it requires his sovereign, overseeing mercy for salvation. Okay? So this is the first vow you're going to be asked. Okay? We'll review this vow next week as we get further in, and we're going to talk about and bring more questions you're having, Greta. And I'm also convinced Greta's not the only one with a question. All right? So send them to us as you think of them, please, and we will answer them week by week, and then even pile some up for the last week. Okay? But you will be asked, do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God and without hope for your salvation except in his sovereign mercy? All right? So that'll be our first vow. We'll pick up there next week. All right. Any prayer requests as we head out?
My grandfather's health has been declining. He has Parkinson's disease, and he's in the latter stages of it, so if you can just pray that, he really doesn't want to have in-home care, but we all agree that he needs it,
right.
But he refuses it, and he keeps my grandmother up all night, and she still works from home.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want in-home care, and he really needs it, so
yeah.
If you could just pray for a change of heart or something like that, it's been really hard to see him like this.
And that is, as we, you know, we have parents that are, you know, aging and in that stage of life, that those are tough decisions to make, and they're not, you know, and then as you take on in-home care, that you get the right person.
Right.
Because that's huge as well. So, Andrew, do you mind closing us in prayer?
Not at all. I'm going to add my, one thing I would mention was that, you know, with church membership is a family, and I wanted to expand on that, that not only do we get to love you all, we get to get loved by you. So it goes both ways. So you get to love others, which is a wonderful thing about church membership. And I am going to add a prayer request for my mother, who fell a couple of days ago and broke a bone around her eyeball, and so she can't, she's having trouble with her vision. So
the orbital?
Pray for her. Yeah.
Okay.